The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Oh, morning, Matt. Missed it for the last 30 minutes yesterday of the show. Appreciate you and C-Unit taking over and finishing it out. We had a pretty cold early afternoon, and a nice win for the Razorbacks, 11-0 over Little Rock.
Yeah, that was that was cool. You know, Mr. Bill King came on, and he always does a great job. 11-0. I thought 10-0 was the run rule.
No, these ones went to 11.
They went to 11, yeah.
That's exactly right. The run rule. Well, it looked like we may play a full nine innings, and then the next thing you know, a 7-run sixth inning took a 4-0 lead to 11-0, and at that point, I gotta make sure I get all my live reads in. Because the game's going to end a lot earlier than I thought it was going to. Yeah, he had 3 home runs in the sixth inning yesterday, including a grand slam by Vahiva Aloy.
Ooh.
It was a dominant game, but it really did fit into kind of the series between these two programs over the last few years. Hogs are now 5-2 against the Trojans, and they've run ruled them in, I think, 3 of those games. Well, they wouldn't have had a run rule, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, so 21-5 last year and then 11-0 this year.
I can just imagine your boy Eddie the Sherpa when Aloy hits a homer. He's just woo.
Funny that you mentioned that too. I got a text from Eddie earlier this morning. Are you guys on this? Are we on a text chain with him? I mean, did you read this? Did you realize that he sent me a text that takes up an entire phone screen? That was this morning. And my gosh, I mean, he ended it. Matt, do you and Eddie share a brain? He ended it with the words, I'm not kidding, I'll show you right here, Ric Flair woo, right there, just exactly woo. As you're thinking about him. Yeah, Eddie's moved on to baseball. I think Eddie moved on to baseball a long time back, because yeah, I can usually tell. Now, I wouldn't say this is the pulse of the entire Razorback fan base, but it is the pulse of one of the more intense of the Razorback fans. Usually I can tell, you know, what he's into based upon what it is that he's texting me about. And let's see, earlier this month there was, yeah, he started turning on to baseball right about when baseball started. So I think like a lot of people might have. So yeah, he was excited about that yesterday. I am too, not just because of the win, but also because it is the it's the debut of a pitcher that can go get you some outs on the weekends too. Ben Bibee got the start yesterday. He's somebody that would have already pitched a lot up until would have already pitched a lot if not for a hamstring strain that cost him. I think that's why he didn't pitch the first weekend. And then when the team went to Arlington, he had come down with mono. So he's been kind of a hard luck guy. But he got out yesterday and looked, I mean, looked like he'd been pitching for the last 6 weeks and been getting out for the last 6 weeks. Two of the pitchers that threw yesterday, Bybee and Carter, Dylan Carter looking really good too. These are guys that as they are working their way back from, you know, for Ben, injuries and illness, and for Carter, an injury that usually costs you an entire season, they're not in midseason form yet. They'll be getting there, and these are guys that can get outs on the weekends, and it just continues the theme of arms for days for this program, for this year's team. It really is. It's arms for days. I mean, you've got this great weekend rotation, which still feels like there's a little more for Brady Tigert and for Mason Molina. You get the best pitcher in the country, or at least the guy that seems to be, in Hagen Smith. There's no one as dominant as Hagen has been. You know, a bullpen that I think has been very, very good up until not holding the lead on Saturday against Auburn. And now you mix in a guy like Bybee that as a freshman last year, Matt, he faced some real pressure moments, I think, a lot earlier than you would really see a freshman get those opportunities. But that was the case for some of those pitchers pressed into duty last year. And they still haven't gotten Hunter Dietz back. And that's another arm that I don't think he'll pitch this week, but I think they're looking for him to get on the mound next week, either against Arkansas State and then Ole Miss maybe. I didn't even think the pitching staff could get that much deeper, but they do. They've gotten a lot deeper. It is arms for days, and we saw it on display yesterday.
What is so LSU's, they're obviously a good ball club. They're the defending national champs. How many guys do they have off that national championship team coming back? What is their, I mean, are they just good at everything? What's their strength this year?
LSU, well, keep in mind, like LSU, and I don't know how much this is talked about because it's like they're a brand name and they're coming in tomorrow. They were the defending national champions. You realize what they lost from last year?
Right.
They lost the best position player and hitter in the country in Dylan Cruz. They lost the best pitcher in the country. These were the guys that finished 1-2 in the Golden Spikes. You can't just automatically replace stuff like that just because you've got a Tiger and a national championship from the year before and a logo with an interlocking LSU. But they're still really good. They're not the same team. I don't think they're anywhere close to the same team. They don't have that kind of pitching depth. They've got an ace in Luke Holman. And then after that, they've had some problems in the SEC in the six games that they've played. 820 team array in the SEC.
Whoa.
That didn't happen last year for that ball club. So I think they're a little more. Look, they still have some pitchers. Don't get me wrong. They have some guys that can get some outs, but not as dominant as last year. Their bullpen hasn't been very deep and not as good as they were last year. Look, Arkansas played LSU last year. I think the Tigers at that point were number one. Then this year it reversed. So it ought to be a really good series, but I also think this is probably the most tested that the pitching staff will be, if not for the entire season, definitely up until this point. You know, there are hitters here that have had success across seasons and really across different programs. Hayden Travinsky, Tommy White, of course, Tommy Tanks, maybe one of the more well-known hitters in college baseball. Mac Bingham, a star at Arizona that transferred in this year, amongst others. So it'll be the toughest test the team has faced, certainly since the weekend in Arlington. And I think it will be more of a test because you're facing the same team three in a row. So, but it was, 41 degrees. I was so proud that they got the game over in 2 hours and 18 minutes so that we didn't have to worry about the sun setting and freezing even more. But it felt good when the sun finally did come out, Matt. And it was, I think that was the third coldest first pitch that we've seen this year, 41 degrees. And then it was warmer at 6:30 when we were supposed to start the game. Now, I know the sun would have set about an hour or so after that, but it's just kind of funny about that. 41 degrees, late March. And again, I'm done listening to the, totally done listening to the groundhog. Halftime on this Wednesday, going to be a good show. We've got Clay Henry joining us for a couple of hours at 12 o'clock. And we have Grant Hall also coming up in just a little bit. We'll be kicking around March Madness. We have sound from Arkansas football practice from yesterday. Well, at least the pressers from post-game, from post-practice yesterday. Jaquindon Jackson, Cam Ball, Nico DeVilliers spoke. Also some interesting comments coming from a former Florida defensive end, Princely Umanmielen, who now is at Ole Miss. Just kind of dropped a little shade on the former Florida coaching staff. Charlie Baker, president of the NCAA, apparently wants prop bets banned on college athletes. And John Calipari is staying in Kentucky. Plus the new football, well, the new rules in the NFL. I just wonder how many of these rules will make it to college football as well, because you do see the sports do mirror each other.
That's something I asked Bill King yesterday, if he thought we would get to that as far as college football. He thinks so eventually. I mean, you know how everything happens. I didn't get to ask him how quick the ACC would dissolve, if it would be like the Pac-12, because it seemed like it was the Pac-12 was just gone. It was like you just kind of woke up and it was gone. Jaquindon Jackson, I'm a big fan of his, man. I think he's going to be.
Transfer out of Utah.
Man, I think that's a good get for Arkansas. You know, each year we kind of go through, who was it, Hazelwood 1 year from Oklahoma. You had the linebacker from Alabama that came in. Drew Sanders.
Traylon Smith came in from Arizona State. He was pretty good.
I think Jaquindon Jackson is going to be one of those dudes that is going to make some plays for us this year.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Back on Halftime, all guests join us on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, and Grant Hall is there with us right now. We always appreciate your time, Grant, on a Wednesday or whenever it is that we can get you. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Beautiful day in the Ozarks.
Certainly is. When I watched yesterday's baseball game, and I've been thinking about this throughout the entire season so far, but yesterday it stands out because you get a guy making his debut in Ben Bibee. And look, people can say, oh, it's Little Rock. That's actually a team that can hit a little bit, bunch of veterans. The phrase I think of, Grant, is arms for days. Literally, arms for days. And it gets the staff just gets deeper right now.
Yeah, Dave was talking after the game about that. It's hard to get into this rotation, this group of guys pitching, especially in the SEC. Ben Bibee is hopeful now of pitching on the weekend some, and 6'6", 235. The weather didn't bother him. He said he's pitched in a lot colder than that in Kansas, you know. And for a guy that, I guess, 27 innings last year, about 29 strikeouts, I think. He's got a good arm, good control. And then also, you know, Fouch comes in there who can throw it up to 100 with the sinker that he's developed. And they've suggested that could be a career maker for this guy. So, and we haven't even seen Deitch yet. I think that's coming, right, pretty quickly. So who knows what the weekend rotation will be in 4 or 5 weekends. Maybe it'll be the same. Maybe it might be a little bit different.
Yeah, part of that all has to do on, I think right now, whether or not Brady Tigard figures out this little rotational issue that Matt Hobbs mentioned last Friday. You know, you don't want to take him out. There's no reason really to take him out right now. They're not getting base hits off of Brady Tigard. but he's putting guys on base, not getting into the fifth inning or finishing the fifth inning. You know, that's a problem. And in other years, you would just deal with it. Be like, all right, well, you know, we'll just test the bullpen. This is not a year that you've got to deal with that. You've got other guys that can that I think you can give an opportunity to. So that's another – Dave even mentioned, I mean, there's competition amongst these pitchers to get the ball. I'd be shocked if there's a change in the weekend rotation, but that all has to do with whether or not, you know, I think Tigard figures out what he's got to figure out.
Yeah, and as good as Molina's been this year, he had a little bit of control issue last week. And like Dave said, that could have been a seven-inning instead of five-inning performance. That he's got a lot of confidence, though, and I think the team gravitates to him, but they do to a lot of these guys. So, you know, that's what Curry said after the game yesterday. He talked about this pitching depth that Arkansas has, and really after that third game at Auburn, maybe there will be some opportunities for a couple of guys. You know, no one wants to have a bad outing.
Grant, does this team – give me one weakness. Give me something this team you think they're going to have to improve on or get – I mean, I know we're splitting hairs. They're number one team in the country, but if they want to, so to speak, lift that trophy, cut down the nets in Omaha at the end of the year, what's something they're going to need to improve on?
Well, Matt, it sounds ridiculous after a team scored 11 runs and had their sixth run rule victory of the year yesterday, but the hitting is still – I mean, they got six hits. This is several games I can remember where Arkansas has had more home, you know, more runs than hits. And as long as Dave said, we still hit the ball hard when we hit it. But he would like to have seen a few more singles in there too. And I guess that does sound like nitpicking, but they're clearly up in the home run rate. But you'd like to see more. Multi-hit rallies, and Dave said, I think in the SEC, it's pretty unusual for a team to have three hits in an inning these days with how good the pitching is everywhere. But that would be a thing to, you know, to just sprinkle more hits up and down the lineup.
Well, you know, Dave has a press conference going right now. You might have been in on the first 15 minutes or so, and it looks like they are. There's a little bit of a change in the weekend rotation, not in who's pitching, but in how they're being lined up. Hagen Smith, still Thursday. He's got normal rest since he pitched last Thursday. Moving Mason Molina to Friday's game, so he's the second game starter. Brady Tigard's been pushed to Saturday. Looks like they want to give Tigard an extra day of rest, so that's interesting. That's the first change in the rotation at all. And what is this, the seventh week of the season? So that tells you something.
And it might indicate, you know, that as deep as this staff is, you know, have a lot of guys lined up to go. If the first two starters do well and get a good number of innings, then you'll have a lot of potential for one and two inning guys on Saturday if you need to.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, the Major League season starts tomorrow. It's kind of crept up on me a little bit. I mean, I've been so into, you know, covering the teams is covering, and you know how I am with the Pirates. Like, if I cared about the Pirates all that much or thought they had a chance to win like 75 games, I might pay a little closer attention, but I haven't really been doing that. The Major League season starts tomorrow, Grant.
Well, I mean, I watched a lot of those two games last week with the Dodgers and Padres, so what the heck, it's already started. Now, and then, the Royals came in here the other night, and that was good. They've been trying to make this happen for several years. You know, you had COVID and rain and different things, and they got really lucky. It rained all day, and then for about 3 hours it did, and then it started raining as soon as the game was over. But I'm glad they got to do that. Guys that have been here, like Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvi Perez, it was cool. I mean, Graham Thomas did a good job today writing about all those guys, that how much it meant to him to come back here. So that was a good thing for the Naturals.
Hey, Grant, March Madness, it's in the air. I always kind of relate everything back to this Arkansas basketball team. After watching, you know, opening weekend, do you still like UConn to cut down the nets? And what's something after you saw how these teams compete? I was really interested in that South Carolina-Oregon game. Seeing how the SEC really didn't, we got two teams at an eight to the Sweet 16. What's a couple areas this Arkansas basketball team is going to need to improve on if we want to be a Sweet 16 team next year?
Yeah, I think getting bigger. I think Eric has said that, you know, looking for more guys like 6'6" that can even play the perimeter. And, you know, Matt, I mean, the SEC, yeah, you're right, they're 5-6. Now, Georgia beat Ohio State last night.
Oh, nice.
In the NIT, a team which had won maybe, what, about four more games than Georgia had or something like that. So that was a good one. I mean, Wiley's thing that they said the SEC was 1-2. I think they've won more than that. What Georgia obviously has, and that game probably finished after his column went to press. But, you know, and people may not pay too much attention to NIT teams, but at least that's something. And, you know, maybe Tennessee and Alabama can keep going and save the league a little bit. But as far as Arkansas, I mean, that has been a jolt. We were talking about it yesterday in the press box. You know, we thought the 16-17 really had a lot to do with how strong the league was this year, but then the league didn't prove it or hasn't proved it yet in the NCAA tournament. So I think, Eric, you know, they missed a little bit on the setup this year, and I think part of that was he found out kind of early that they couldn't play the kind of defense he was used to and needed. I think that's probably going to be an area of emphasis, but I think they'll be right back in it next year. I really do.
All right. So now the question of whether or not Muss will be the coach. I don't believe the rumors that have been thrown out there. Like, I believe his agents like digging around and making phone calls and stuff like that. I didn't believe Louisville. That's not about to happen. I don't believe SMU, but apparently SMU is targeting Andy Enfield, who's the head coach at Southern California. If Southern California were to open up, now we were talking more about UCLA, USC is not much different. They just don't have the national championships in the Final Fours, but they're all going. It's in the same city. It's in the same recruiting base. It's going to the Big Ten. It is Southern California. That would be a job that I might be a little nervous about if I'm thinking about where Muss might leave for. But as of right now, I don't think there's a job that's open that he leaves for.
I agree with you. I haven't really thought all along that he was leaving. I mean, one of the Arkansas assistant coaches told a friend of mine yesterday that he's not going, that Eric's not going anywhere. Now, yeah, there are still dominoes that could happen after this thing is over. You know, the 16 more teams, who knows what could happen, but I think he's staying.
It's just something you got to go through every year, right? I mean, it seems that that's something that If you have a coach that's successful, you're going to worry about him leaving for somewhere else. I guess that's stuck in everybody's mind. But it's nothing that I necessarily worried about. But it's like you're saying, this is probably something you're dealing with, at least the nerves for some people, for the next 2-3 weeks. Because, I mean, look how long it took for all the dominoes to fall in college football. That was just like over 2 months ago, not even 2 months ago. So, yeah, just hold on to your hats.
Yeah, we're in a different era. People have gotten apoplectic about this, you know. But I don't think anything's going to happen.
Hey, Grant, have you been keeping up with the NBA at all? I kind of got Denver and Boston as the two best teams in the NBA right now. Do you see another, if we're just kind of getting in the crystal ball, who do you think is another team that could be playing in the NBA Finals?
You know, I thought Milwaukee was pretty good until last night. They blew a 19-point lead, I think, in the fourth quarter.
Oh, double OT, yeah.
Yeah, I ended up watching quite a bit of that. And, you know, LeBron missed his 10th game of the year, but he was over there cheering them on. And Davis went for, I think, 34-23 or something like that in a double overtime game. It's about as well as I've seen him play. And how about Austin Reeves of the state of Arkansas going for a triple-double last night? So, I mean, the Lakers probably aren't going anywhere, but they needed that to kind of keep their playoff position.
Yeah, that corner three to send it into the second overtime, you just knew Dame Lillard was going to make that. And man, how do you not pull for Austin Reeves out there? He's fun to watch, and you love seeing players grow and kind of come into their own. And just each time, you know, each semester, each 6 months, you watch Austin Reeves play, he's getting better.
You know, Matt, the analyst said he thought Lillard was maybe top 10 all-time NBA. And I'm thinking, now, wait a minute, what do you do with Elgin Baylor and Bill Russell and Bob Cousy and all these people I saw that maybe they didn't see, you know, that Julius Erving, I mean, you could go on and on. that top 10, now that's a pretty elite group. But, yeah, he is pretty good. But he got tired, I think, at the end last night. Missed some shots.
He looked like he was on one leg at the end. Yeah, he was running out of gas.
He must have been top 10 this year. That's what they must have meant.
Maybe.
I mean, Eddie Jones, Eddie Jones was a beast. I don't know that he's eclipsed Eddie Jones yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember Nick Van Exel as an L.A. Laker as well? Was he a Missouri Tiger?
Cincinnati
Bearcat. But Nick Van Exel could get it, man. He was good.
I saw him play in the NCAA tournament. I can't remember when or where, but, yeah, he was pretty good.
I think I remember a buzzer beater that he might have hit. There was a buzzer beater in the tournament.
Played for the Mavs after the Lakers. Yeah, kind of.
I'm going to go back and check on that in a moment. Hey, Grant, we're going to run. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. See you soon.
All right. See you guys.
Thanks, Grant.
Grant Hall with us on halftime. Yeah, I think Van Exel hit a half-court buzzer beater in the tournament when he was at Cincinnati. That's like right in the area where I kind of still remember something. And don't ask me about anything that happened in the last 20 years. I can't remember any of that.
Pulled out the Bearcat, though.
Happened in the early to mid-90s, man. I may actually remember that.
Eastside Liquor in Fort Smith has St. Patrick's Day specials going on right now. Shanky's Whip for $27.99. Proper 12 Apple for $29.99. Single Malt for $38.99. Blended for $28.99, Jameson Orange, 750 milliliters for $25.99, and for 1.75 liters, $52.99. Redbreast Cask Strength for a new low price of $99.99. In Irish Creams, St. Brendan's, 750 milliliters for $14.99, 1.75 liters for $27.99, and a new salted caramel for $14.99. Carolyn's Peanut Butter for $17.99, Bailey's Vanilla Mint Shake for $29.99, and a new flavor, chocolate, $29.99, and Five Farms for $29.99. Now, back to the podcast.
BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or mobile device. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here.
Has anybody ever figured out what the heck the pompatus of love is? There's a movie from the late 90s called The Pompatus of Love. Didn't really, make any big waves or anything, but it'll be one of those lyrics from a very well-known song, Matt, that nobody has any idea what this is about.
Yeah, sounds French.
It does. It does. Well, do a little research into this. We had a text in here from Calvin in Mena. He asks about thoughts on Kane Archer at Greenwood, the quarterback at Greenwood that everybody's recruiting. But the next question, I think, goes a little bit more to, the idea of, maybe getting him here if you keep the coaching staff together. And also what Bobby Petrino was looking for as in quarterback. The question also, on top of thoughts on Kane Archer for you, Matt, is what style of quarterback runs Coach Petrino's offense the best?
Kane, what's he going to be, a sophomore or a junior in high school?
I believe a junior.
A junior, yeah. He's talented. His brother, I think it would be kind of a package deal. Where's his brother going to go? I think he's a little bit older. I'd take him. You would take his brother just to get him. I don't know. He's a junior in high school. I mean, he's a talented kid, but he's still a junior in high school. So you just want to hope that he develops and keeps growing, keeps loving the game, keeps having fun, and I mean he's 16 years old. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the idea of what quarterback runs Coach Petrino's offense?
Petrino had Mallett and Lamar Jackson. How do you get two different guys in that right there? One of them can't run out of his shadow. And then one of them's a two-time league MVP. Mallett's arm was just – I mean, he had some of the best arm talent since Joe Ferguson up there. I mean, he can make all the throws. And then Lamar was that dual-threat guy. I think Petrino's one of the coaches that takes the talent that you have and you kind of devise an offensive game plan in your scheme based on what talent you have. If I got some All-American tight ends, we might be in a 11 personnel a little bit more. So I think Petrino's one of those coaches that fits his scheme to the talent he has.
Clay, what do you think?
Yeah, so first of all, I think that if you're a great talent, Bobby's fine. He's run a triple option with Lamar Jackson. He's run drop back with Ryan Mallett. It was slow-footed, so I don't think it matters. I think that if you have greatness, he's going to figure it out. Your quarterback coach was David Lee, and I think he had a drop-back passer at Ole Miss at one point. I can't remember his name. I think that predated your time. It might have been – gosh, who was it? It was might have been before Arkansas was in the SEC. They had a drop-back passer, and David Lee coached him. And he coached Quinn Grovey, and you're different than Quinn Grovey, Matt. So I don't think it matters with Bobby. I think that the really good quarterback coaches, they assess what they have and they run plays to their strength. And for instance, when Ryan Mallett went down against Auburn and they brought in Tyler Wilson for about two quarters, they had a package for him that was completely different than anything that Ryan ran, but they knew those plays were tailor-made for him. And I think I've heard Tyler talk about it. They ran those plays in practice for Tyler. So when he came in, they were ready. With the receivers knew those plays, knew the routes that Tyler could throw. So I think Bobby will figure it out based on – he'll figure out which is his best quarterback for what he wants to do, and then he will run a system fit for him. And it – you know, the playbook that Bobby has is just massive, but he's not going to – ask any quarterback to run it all. He's going to pick out the chapters or the pages or the plays and specifically what they can do with their receivers, their running backs, their quarterback. That's what coaching is about.
Well, and right now is the toughest time for the playbook. I mean, the first 2 weeks of camp, all the spring ball, because everything's open. When you start game planning, it then goes week to week and week, and you go back.
You cut back.
You're like, remember we ran this third spring practice. We worked on this for that week or whatever. And then you kind of fine tune it. So you clear up any of the mistakes.
But what I also hear here is some people are asking about the quote, Bobby Petrino system, unquote. What I'm hearing from you, Clay, is, and I think this is probably, it's not every coach that's like this, but maybe the great coaches are, is that they just don't have a system that you got to fit a player inside. Is that if you get a great athlete at this position, at quarterback, is that you have a coach who can design a system around that quarterback's strengths. And I don't think every coach is like that. I mean, we've had other coaches here that have talked about my system, and it feels like you're just trying to jam these players into that system, and it might not or it might work. This is a different way to view what a coordinator is doing, and he's it's more about the athlete than it is about the scheme.
It's about the 40 players that he has that are playing offense. One, you get the best ones on the field. Two, you assess what they can do, and that's not just the quarterback. That's the right tackle, the left tackle, the right guard. You know, like what blocks can these guys do, and then you also. And what Bobby will be doing shortly is that somebody's going to be breaking down the teams they play. And it's a matchup situation. Now, you know, when he first came to Arkansas, they flipped offensive line. In other words, weak side, strong side. You know, like you didn't play left tackle and right tackle. You played the weak side. In other words, there would be one tackle always paired with a tight end. That's the strong side. He was going to have a double team help. You know, they'd flip it left, flip it right, and it was all about matchups. And they found that players, it was tough to recruit a tackle that you didn't tell him he was going to learn the left side. They didn't want to do that. And that he first learned that in the NFL. They don't want to be told they're not a left tackle. You know, that's a money position.
That's right, yeah.
So, but – That was the offense that he knew. But it's about matchups throughout the offensive line, the tight end, the receivers, and it's a magic thing that happens with the great minds. And there's not many like Bobby Petrino in how he thinks through things and how he prepares. And then the way he demands the execution. And when I say execution, in other words, you get it right every time. We ran this play three times, and you make a bust, you're done today. You know, I saw him send players to the locker room in the middle of a practice, and you think, well, he just threw him off the team. No, he was just making a point that I'm tired of seeing you, and this is my way of making sure you know that you're fired today. You're cut, but you can come back tomorrow. But you better get it right, or I'm going to cut you again. And I saw him do that to Ben Cleveland and others. You know, that like after they busted three or four times on the same play that they had worked on. He just sent him to the locker room, and you know, or he would pull a quarterback and let them watch a little while. When you watch for a little while, you get better. I don't know what it is about that, but you know, okay, my focus needs to be a little better. I don't know where it was 20 minutes ago, but it's going to be better now because I don't want to be on the second team.
We got a couple callers on hold. I want to get to them before the break. First, I want to tell you about a great deal going on at Schlotzky's just today, Wednesday only. Buy one, get one free pizzas. That's right here in the middle of the week, Wednesdays only at Schlotzky's. All pizzas are buy one, get the second one free. Signature sourdough, fresh toppings, and a win-win pizza. That's any Wednesday at your local Schlotzky's, lunch and dinner. Great way, great deal any way you slice it. Schlotzky's is a mouthful. This works in Hot Springs, Fort Smith, Mountain Home, Fayetteville, Rogers, Springdale, and Siloam Springs. And make sure you tell them that you heard it on ESPN Arkansas. Let's hear from Juwan in Fayetteville. He's on the McClarty Daniel Hotline. Hey, Juwan, how are you?
Doing well. How about yourself? Enjoying the sunshine?
Great. Thank you.
I just think Kane Archer, he's going to be a can't-miss prospect. I've watched several of his games, and he does both things really well. He can run the football. He can throw the football well. And even though he's a junior, he's already 6'1", 207 pounds. And he has grip strength. I've seen this special on Kane. His grip strength is better than C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young's already at this age that he's at. I predict that he'll probably be the number one quarterback when he comes to the 2026 class coming up with the reclassification of Julian Lewis. And that's something that I really don't like is players reclassifying from being junior to being senior so they can get on campus early. We know it's about NIL money, but I think Kane Archer is going to be a can't-miss prospect. He's probably one of the best quarterbacks to come out of the state of Arkansas in 20 years as a junior man. I've seen him and Walker White go head-to-head, and, man, Kane stole the show.
Well, we've been hearing about Kane Archer quite a bit, really, even before he got before he got to high school. So the hype continues to build. Jeremy in Tulsa will take us into the break. Hey, Jeremy, good to hear from you. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Great, thank you.
Good. Yeah, no, just commenting on the baseball season so far, and I do have a question for you, Phil.
Shoot.
I think we're off to a good start, sit at 23, you know, being ranked number one in the country, 5-1 in the conference. And I look around the landscape, I don't think there's a juggernaut out there that you know, that would be too intimidating come postseason, or maybe think, you know, if we ran into this team, you know, come to Omaha, that, you know, we couldn't beat them. I think that, you know, from a talent perspective, and I talked about this last time I called in, I mean, pitching rotation, fielding, the staff in general, I think that we have a real good shot to win the national championship. So I did call in here, I think, a couple weeks ago and said that. So I'm still sticking to my pick. Hopefully it comes to fruition. But my question to you, Phil, this may be a weird question, and maybe you've never been asked it, but like when I'm listening to, like, you're calling the game, okay, and as soon as a pitch is thrown, I feel like that you're able to tell, you know, okay, that was a slider or a curveball or whatever it may be, a changeup. Like, are you able to tell that from the booth just watching the pitch, or do you maybe have, like, a track man that's telling you? Because, I mean, it's impressive, obviously. So that's why I was like, man, if Phil knows this, you know, right when the ball leaves his hand, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So
it's a two for
and maybe
one
I'm
thing,
just
Jeremy.
Too much of a layman.
No, it's a two for one thing, and I appreciate the phone call and that you pick up on that. Trackman's very helpful for being able to distinguish one pitch from another. Now, my eye's also a little trained from I mean, I think I've called upwards of 3,000 baseball games from that vantage point. So I've got my eyes trained a little bit, but sometimes a changeup might move the way that I thought a slider might move, so I can be a little bit off every once in a while. TrackMan is incredibly helpful because each pitch has its own, you know, range of spin rate that you can go off of. Changeups are going to be in the low 2000s to, you know, the high 1000s. Your curveballs are going to be into the mid 2000s, upwards of higher than that. Sliders around the same. And a fastball always looks like a fastball, so you can kind of tell. But I think also just the trained eye helps. But that TrackMan is very helpful to figure out what pitch has just been thrown.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russell.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hickey and Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in MENA and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hole Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
I was not awake to see Fallon last night. You told me that.
What I learned was Huey Lewis was on Fallon last night, and he looked all right. I mean, he looked good. But what I learned, something I learned was he said back in the day, Bob Dylan had wrote him a song and sent him a cassette of the song that he wanted him. He wrote a song for him to go.
I would have never pictured Bob Dylan writing a song for Huey
in the early 80s, I believe. And he said he just didn't go do it. And he said that was one of his biggest mistakes. He's like, I should. When Bob Dylan writes you a song, you go ahead and go record it. He said he just
you
never got
it,
around
right?
to it. Yeah.
Wow. I remember you got the same kind of story from Manic Monday. Prince, you know, we know Manic Monday from the beat from the Go-Go's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Prince wrote it for them. And they, I don't think they wanted, I don't remember the exact story about this, but it was almost like Prince wrote us a song. We got to kind of do that song. Right?
No kidding.
It'd be the same thing for Bob Dylan. What's wrong with you? Well, I guess he didn't realize what was wrong with him.
Yeah, the guys at Coldplay, they wrote something for Johnny Cash, and Johnny passed before they could get him to do it. So they went ahead and recorded, but they said, this is really, really written for Johnny. And you can, when you hear it, it's like, man, Johnny Cash ought to sing that. And turns out that that's what it was. I can't remember the name of the song, which one it was.
I can't remember what it would be either. Hey, I was looking at the. Did you see? So there's all these dominoes that fall. We think of dominoes falling when it comes to coaching carousel in football, mm-hmm. basketball, whatever sport. Same in athletics directors. Nebraska. So this is how it went. Trev Alberts leaves Nebraska for Texas A&M. Nebraska hires Troy Dannon from Washington. Dannon had been at Washington for 6 months as the athletics director and then bolts for Nebraska. Pat Chun has just been hired by Washington from Washington State. Isn't that a little interesting? Chun was one of those guys that was really kind of going at the SEC and the Big Ten, being one of the two schools that was basically kicked out of power football.
Correct.
Well, along with Oregon State, and now he's I'm sure he's being paid more. It's a bigger job, but he's
well, you know what
the
they say.
He defended the small guy to go to the big guy, literally the arch rival of the school he was running before.
Well, you can't beat him, you join him.
He did. That's exactly. I don't know what their record was against Washington on the football field, but as far as, you know, remaining a major player in college sports, Washington kicked Washington State to the curb. And also, so Dannon had his press conference yesterday at Nebraska to be introduced to the fan base there. And a thing that's getting a lot of play in his speech is that he predicted sometime soon that there will be, in athletic budgets across the country, a line item for sharing financial profits with players. Now, this is, I wouldn't even say this is saying the quiet part out loud anymore, but now you have a major athletics, you know, a major university athletics director that is literally saying this is something we've got to plan for. And I think there are a lot of other schools. I think maybe if you're not already planning for this right now in college athletics and you're in the administration of a place like Arkansas or anywhere else, then you probably aren't doing your job the right way. I think everybody's planning for this.
Phil, he replaced Trev Alberts at Nebraska. Nebraska, you know, lost Trev Alberts to Texas A&M. If you go and it is a fascinating read, and you can find it at 247, and it's, you know, the entire transcript, it's about an hour and a half, of the introduction of Trev Alberts by General, is it Welsh, who's the chancellor at Texas A&M. He's a four-star general. And he introduced Trev Alberts, and Trev Alberts talked for 20 minutes, and then he took questions for 20 minutes, and then the chancellor came back. And there's, in the guts of that, you know, maybe an hour in, Trev Alberts starts talking about, this is what's coming, we're preparing for it, it is revenue sharing, we need to line item, figure 15 to 20 million from our budget right now that is going to go back to the players. It's coming. We're going to be ready. We're going to start work on that immediately, Texas A&M.
Well, because of that.
So it's exactly what your guy just said at Nebraska when he's introduced. And I think this is common knowledge. And I guarantee you, Hunter Yurecek is doing the same thing. And it's like, where are we going to find it? And unfortunately, it's going to be painful, the constriction in college athletes, in athletics, and it's going to be in some sports that you go, well, that's Title IX violation there. But they believe, and Trev Alberts said this, that they will get an exemption because of it is revenue sharing for athletes, and the courts will go for it, even though it will cause constriction in some of the women's sports.
So I mean, we've seen the writing on the wall for this for a long time. And obviously the administrators are the ones that have to act upon this. They're the ones that act upon it. And it's just a little thing here, a little thing there. I mean, it's like, you know, scraping up your savings to try to, you know, have a down payment for a house or something like that. I kind of view it the same way. You know, we think of these athletic budgets as just being so big that you can spend money on anything. And when I first started doing Razorback games, you would go across the SEC and you saw this amazing construction boom because of the influx of money that came into the league from the SEC network. That's what that was about. I mean, everybody was building something then. Now, you know, there's going to be an influx of more money, bigger dollar figures coming from the networks from all these deals that we've talked about for the last 2 years. Now the college football playoff also is growing in the sense of how much money is being spent on that from the networks. Where's all that money going to? It's not going to go to construction budgets. I don't know if it's going to coaches' salaries, because that's where some of the other large inflows of money have gone to. No, a good chunk of that's going to the athletes. Yep. And truthfully, when you think about it, as it should.
in business, in the great corporations, you know, the departments, you know, like you say, line item, you know, you go to 3M or you go to General Motors and you have, you know, you've got departments and these departments are massive and they've got a budget. It is in their best interest to spend their budget, because if they don't spend their budget, they won't get it next year. In other words, if this is the money left over, well, we're going to take that, and that's going to go into profit. Colleges cannot show profit. If they show profit, then that money's got it. It's going to go to academics. It's going to go into the general, you know, the general fund. So as this money has exploded, like you say, in the SEC, you know, it's gone from $15 million the check, you know, every year to 20 to 25. And it's going to be 50 here really soon, I think. $50 million per school. They've got to spend that money. But I think that they're, you know, when they decide that they do the revenue sharing, I bet you they can find 15 to 20 million. And it's, and you look in these athletic departments and you see a marketing department with 20. It's going to go to 5. It's going to go to 3. I mean, it's going to be line item. Every part will get squeezed, and I bet we don't notice as a fan. I hate to say that.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.